Stay tuned for ASISU Speaks coming up next with your host, Nayeli Alvarez, speaking with ASISU Senator Uma Shankar Masetti.
Programming support for ASISU Speaks on KISU comes from ISU Credit Union. ISUCU is the Southeast Idaho Credit Union with the educational community in mind. They provide financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers and students. They currently have 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. ISU Credit Union, the credit union that roars.
Okay, so today I am here with Shankar. Me and him served on Senate last year. Wow, I can't believe it's been a year since I've seen you. Has it been a year? 2 years? I don't know. It feels like forever.
It's been more than 6 months, I would put that way.
Well, how have you been?
I'm doing great. Even though pandemic has caused me little troubles, but I'm doing great.
That's good. Like, what kind of troubles are you facing, if you want to talk about it?
Well, I was supposed to write my qualifying examination last March. I planned it, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, it got postponed to this October. So I'm writing my qualification exam, like my PhD qualification exam, this October last week.
Oh, okay. So you are you're pretty much almost done, but the pandemic.
No. So qualification is like whether I'm capable enough to pursue my PhD. Once I finish that examination, I'll have 6 months to update to my committee that this is the topic I'm going to do research on. And then I'll have a year or a year and a half to finish it. So another 2 years, I would say.
Oh, wow. Yeah, grad students, especially those pursuing their doctorate, I'm just like, you guys are doing what seems impossible to me. So what are you studying?
So I'm doing my research in robotics and virtual reality. It's a combination of both. So imagine if you are in a operation, like a doctor is operating a surgery and he's not at that prime location. So he'll be still be able to operate at being a different location and still physically do the same things what he is doing in a surgery room. So it's kind of like creating that more in a real time. Like if he does something at his location, it happens the same thing and he can visually see it using the latest technology lens like Oculus Quest and do the surgery in perfection. So.
Oh, wow. That sounds really intense, but also really cool. I know just like virtual reality and the possibility of just, I guess, just living with robots or having technology do a little bit more for humanity is kind of scary for some people. You're the professional, I guess. You like your professional opinion. So I guess the like robot human war imminent.
I'm just starting. I'm learning a lot. The knowledge I have, I personally feel like I'm at just the 10%. I just want to reach at least 50% of 50% in this area of fields to be a little bit expert, I would say. So, yeah. So I'm learning as much as I can on my way through my PhD. So
besides working like your PhD, actually like writing it and doing everything for that getting delayed, has COVID affected anything in your like program specifically, or has it affected anything maybe in like your field in general?
So apart from my research is also with Idaho National Laboratory. I closely work with Idaho National Laboratory on 2 projects. One is with the robotics team. They are radiological mechanical department, and the other team is AVL in KU's. I think it's Applied Visualization Laboratory in KU's. So I work with both those teams. What happened is early March, I got access to, like the March 1st, I got access to the robotics lab. And March, if I remember correctly, March 10th or March 12th, they closed the lab. So I lost access to the robotics lab. So I haven't been, like, I didn't go back again until today. Like even now, I don't have access to the lab. I'm working on it to get access to the lab again. So if I, even though I took the device home and started working on it, it's really difficult because some things, when you're doing research, especially like you want immediate feedback so that you can continue working without any delays. I had a really hard time communicating with the vendors. Like I have a camera, which is a custom made for INL, and I have to speak to that vendor to get some information so that I can make it work so that it won't die when we test it in a radiological environment. And I had really, the vendor was not communicating to me properly, and I have to tell my INL advisor, like, hey, I have problem with this person. He's not, really sharing the information. How do we proceed? So it's like, I ended up stopping the project, and I returned my equipment to the INL back. And pretty soon, probably once I finish my PhD qualification examination, I think I would start on it again. So those are some problems on my project side. Apart from it, there is also something good on the other side. I got an internship opportunity with the AVL team in the case. I worked on a concept paper. In Idaho State University, the Department of Civil Engineering has a disaster response complex next to the research building or the research complex building. So as a part of it, like basically what they did in the disaster response complex is they build an actual disaster response complex, which has tunnels for tunnels and rubber pile and stuff. They had like ISU has allotted them 5 acres of space, and they did create some environments. So as an extension to it, as a byproduct to that actual disaster response complex, my idea is to create a virtual environment similar to a disaster response complex. Mm-hmm. So I worked on a concept paper working with the INL experts. It's done. We are looking for any funding opportunities. If we get any, I'll get rich. So,
well, I'm hoping that maybe there's some potential donors listening, or maybe someone who's just really interested in creating like a virtual reality for the environment, so we can make a good protection program. I think that's really cool. And like a phenomenal use of technology. And I know you're smart, and I guess I just didn't realize how smart you were to be able to build something like this, you know? So that's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I'm still in the initial phases. I don't have at least like a, prototype. So I'm just working on concept papers and working with federal entities like INL, and also planning to write if there is a possibility for an NSF grant. So,
well, I'm wishing you the best of luck because that sounds really cool. So yeah. This is your second year in ASISU, right?
Yes.
So how did you initially get involved with the organization?
So my first year was when I initially joined my PhD, I joined a graduate student organization. That's when I came across ASISU. I never knew about ASISU before. We had two senators, Damara Marshall and what was the other name?
Christoph
Kissin. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Christoph Kissin, both used to represent in our organization, like in the graduate student association as well. They used to come and talk about the stuff they're doing. I always felt like it would be nice to serve on both things, like both graduate student association and as well as ASISU. Once after that year, like during my master's, during my bachelor's, I was really involved in student organizations. So with that, I started involving in graduate student organizations again. After my first year, in the second year, I became the president of Graduate Student Association, and my fellow senator, James Pascal, became the vice president of Graduate Student Association. We worked for like almost 3-4 months, and afterwards we just felt like we were overwhelmed by the two organizations, and we just decided that, okay, we are getting a lot of conflict of interest between two organizations, So we designed a registration decision, and then we moved on with ASICU. One particular reason why we stick to ASICU is like ASICU has a lot of scope and opportunities that we can do good for graduate students. For example, last year we were able to get $10,000 from the Senate for a graduate student travel scholarship. It's a big achievement because if I remember correctly, graduate student associations for the last, from 2015 to 2019, committees or associations tried to get some money from ASICU and they couldn't get it. But I thought like, why should I try it from GSA? Why not I be part of ASICU and, you know, try for it?
So, yeah, and that was your bill. I remember just in the beginning of Senate, you're like, I'm going to get money for grad student or grad school. And I'm like, dude, I'm totally with you, but good luck, you know, like good luck. And then at the end, we were signing off and approving your bill and going up to like grad school and like, okay, here's a 2-to-1 deal. Like student body's putting it down. Like, what about you? And I thought that was probably the biggest power move of last year. Like, I was so impressed with your work. Good job on that, seriously.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really wanted to do that. It's been like, I would say a year and a half dream for me. I would say it's almost 2 years by the time I got it approved, just before the closing of the Senate. I'm glad I did it early spring, because if I waited for it, the Senate would have been taking that opportunity away from me. So
yeah,
but it's good it happened. So this year, like as a continuation, this year I'm more focusing on revamping a bunch of bylaws in ASICU. The Senate is also working in the same direction. This year they were reviewing our bylaws, what do you call it, Senate rule books, all trying to ensure that the structure currently we are following aligns with the documentation. My area in that would be revamping ASIS scholarships. Say for example, we have for graduate committee or graduate scholarship committee, we don't have graduate faculty involved. This year we want to involve graduate faculty as well. As per the rules, the graduate faculty was supposed to be involved every year, but apparently we were not following that. So we want to ensure that this year we want to involve graduate faculty as well, so that we have a diversified committee and we know that you know there is a proper or accountable decisions made by the committee. I'll put that way.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I'm also working on redesigning ASIC logo. The ASIC logo has been more than like the last time they did a new logo was like almost 13 years ago, I would say. So we want to redo a ASIC logo that aligns more with our current ISC logo, but we're still in the discussions. We probably this week we are going to discuss it again in the caucus, because currently I and my couple of other senators were only interested. We just felt like, okay, we don't want to do it if all the Senate is on the same page, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we want to discuss this before we take it further. That's one thing. And third thing is we right now, the graduate student doesn't have a platform where they can get to know the fellow graduate students and the alumni. So I'm working on creating a platform for all of them to be at a same place. Like they can look through the group to see if there is any alumni in their respective field and try to communicate with them and see, hey, what should I do to get a good opportunity in particular in this field, like maybe as a nurse, maybe as a computer science engineer, maybe as a physiotherapist, something like that. So we want to have a pool of people where our current students can contact them and try to ask some questions and know more about the opportunities they have once they graduate. I think that's the only difference between most of the successful graduate schools and a normal school. Like they have a certain process where they would, like even though like even though the students graduate, they still have a platform to communicate with the existing current students to mentor them so that they will be successful. So I want to create that platform. So as a part of it, my first stop is creating a LinkedIn for the graduate students of Idaho State University. We already have created a LinkedIn account. Today, this afternoon, I'm going to meet with my fellow graduate senator, Camden Kay. We're going to discuss about it and then probably put it in front of the dean of graduate school as well, and then go from there.
I think that is an amazing idea, just because I already know how hard it is to find mentors and people in your field as an undergrad already. And so I can't even imagine, you know, you add the grad school part of it, there's like that extra level of degree, there's the extra level of hoops you have to jump. And grad students already have the disadvantage of communicating with each other and meeting each other because class sizes are like five to 10, and you guys are all spread out and you don't really associate outside of your little cohort. So I think this is an amazing idea. And I was like, is this going to be like more like a, I was going to suggest using LinkedIn, but you guys are already on top of it. So
it's going to be mostly focused on LinkedIn because we need to be more professional as well as doing graduate studies. So we didn't want to go through social media. We just wanted to focus on the LinkedIn. Once we have this group, we want to work with graduate school to get the data about the students who graduated already, like at least in the last 3 years. Once we have the data, we will send invite to all of those people to see if they would like to join our LinkedIn group. Once we have the group, like once they join in the group, we'll have the data. Once we have the data, we can share that data to these respective departments. Like, hey, here is the individual who is working in this group, like in this job, and he did this degree. So once we have that information, it's up to the department to contact them and say, hey, what are the opportunities or what do we need to change in our curriculum so that, you know, it aligns with the current trends in the job markets. It's kind of like a feedback to the departments as well, but it's like a long process. We need a lot of resources to analyze that data and transfer it into more, we call measurable information that can be useful for us in changing our curriculum as well.
I know you and Camden are going to talk about this later, but have you guys thought about taking this to Marcom or maybe even talk to like the marketing or the advertising departments?
That's a good idea. I haven't thought about it. Right now, I'm currently focusing on convincing my fellow senator first. Yes, that's a very fresh idea I had. Like, I had this idea last year. I think I've discussed this idea with the current new dean of graduate school as well. But for some reason, it was not implemented, I would put that way. So I wanted to take it further. I want my fellow senate to be on the same page. So I'm going to discuss with him today. And then we're going to update the graduate school as well. Like, you know, we are going this direction. Once we are done with updating the people and we just ensuring to follow the process. Anything we do, we just let graduate school know, hey, here is what we're doing. You know, it's up to them whether they collaborate with us to make this bigger. But yeah, then my idea is to send it to the faculty, like all the graduate faculty in the university, and they would forward to the students. Once we have at least 300 to 400 students in the group, that's when we start marketing and reach out to the people and reach out to the alumni. Because if we don't have enough people in our group and people are really not interested, it's not worth our time. I think if students are not really interested in joining the group, that means they have some other problems which are more important to them. So maybe we need to focus on those areas. I personally feel that way. Like, anytime if I work on something, if I don't have support, that means there are some other important problems that are facing by my fellow senators or my fellow graduate students. So we need to look around like where they are having issues with it. So that's how we came up with the graduate student travel scholarship. And so it's like we knew that there is a problem we got enough support from my fellow senators as well. The same thing, I'll try to see if there is a huge interest among students as well, then I would like to take it to the greater level.
I like that. I literally just had a class this last week where Dr. Summer Shelton just hyped up LinkedIn. She broke it down on every single way that LinkedIn can help students and just like encourage us to get on there, go look for LinkedIn mentors, go look for recruiters. Like, it's the professional Facebook that's gonna get you at least like to know somebody. And so I think creating that for ISU graduate student pool, if you can get that pulled off or even talked about and implemented even better, because social media is work. It definitely takes a lot of work. And I think just like you are one of the most like dedicated people I have seen. Like, when you want like an issue, you will stay persistent on it. And I really admire that.
Yeah, I have this, I would say people hate me sometimes because of it, because I keep bringing the same thing again and again. I personally think, especially when you're working with educational institutions, if you have a problem, you have to tell it like at least 10 times to 10 different people, so that at someday they think that, okay, it seems like it's a major problem. We are hearing from a lot of people about this issue, and maybe we want to focus on it. Like, if it is like a, what do you call, a company or a software company or something like that, if you say you have a problem, they would do it right away just because they want you to be productive. But if it's like we don't work, like our organization is like more educational, and everybody has their own problem. So if you want your problem to be solved, you need to ensure that your problem is heard to the right people from different people, so that they would take your problem as serious and try to help to get it solved.
That is really good advice. Sorry, I'm just taken away by that. I'm just like, yes, like you have to stay persistent, even if it's hard, even if you're sick of it, like yourself, if it's something that you know in your heart needs to get done. And yeah. We all know how difficult it is working in team situations sometimes or group projects. But it's worth it to keep going on it if it means a lot to you. And like, look at you, like you were persistent about getting grad school funding. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm just like, there's no way. Like, getting funding for anything is always a struggle regardless of, you know, where we are. And you did it.
Like, that's not gonna happen. Like, I still remember we had the goal for like almost 4 years, like the four graduate student associations had the goal to get money. And in the fifth year, when I was the president, the goals were changed. Like, you know, this is like, it's a past, you're not going to get it. I was like, okay, no, this is not how it's not going to work. We decided that's just our goal. It's going to be until I graduate. Like, it's not just me. It's like, the dream of four committees, like four presidents and vice president of graduate student associations. Mm-hmm. So it's that thing, like, you know, it's that pushed me up. Even though I moved out of GSA, I felt like being in ASSU has opened my eyes in many ways. Like, it's a big organization. You can make people, you can have information, whatever you want, and people will be accountable to share that information to you. It's way different, like, when compared to GSA. In GSA, we are just like a club, probably under SAB, but under ASICU, I would say, not SAB. But ASICU is like way different. You have access to different people to talk to. I think I would say, like, if the emails I sent as a GSA outreach coordinator or president, most of the time, or 90% of the time, they were never answered. But if I send an email through ASICU, as an ASI senator, I would definitely get an answer sooner or later.
Mm-hmm. Having that in your little email signature really does make the difference. So we're getting close on time here, and I know it's been a really rough year for everybody globally. But one thing that I've been giving credit to every single ASISU member who's come on is the student leaders this year have given so much hope. Like, you guys have been positive. You guys have been a very solid, like, loud voice for the student body. And it really makes me feel good to see how amazing our leaders are. So my last question for you is, what's one thing that's given you hope?
In terms of ASISU, I think this year's Senate is way different from last year's Senate or any year's Senate. Like in the last 3 years' Senates I've seen, we have a group of people. Like say, for example, we have the Outreach Committee, which is headed by Samantha Winslow. She is really good in like creating logos, creating. She's more like a graphic designer. So that's like a perfect job for her. It's like an add-on to her degree. So it's like we have right people in the right place. We have a couple of senators who are returning, and most of them are like all of them are in what do you call chairs for different committees, pro tems, presidents and vice presidents. So it's like all the big important positions in ASISU were currently taken over by the returning senators, so they know exactly what they're doing. So that's really exciting in terms of ASISU for me this year.
I love that. Shankar,
I hope I answered that.
yes, no, that is an amazing answer. I have really enjoyed this conversation. I really like to just check up and see what you're doing because I know you're always doing something. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting us. Yeah, I miss you working in the Senate with you.
I miss you too.
KISU's ASISU Speaks is supported by ISU Credit Union, part of the fabric of Southeast Idaho since 1952, with offices in Burley, Blackfoot, Pocatello, and Idaho Falls. ISU Credit Union's continuing support for the ISU community includes funding for many clubs and organizations. There are two branches on the Pocatello campus where an account can be quickly set up that meets the specific needs of the educational community. ISU Credit Union, the credit union that roars.